Hey, this is John Fuller, along with my friend and Focus colleague, Dr. Danny Huerta. And Danny, you've got a son and a daughter. How does the topic of protecting your daughter, what does that make you think of?
Yeah, first of all, it makes me feel very strong, right? Whoa, what
well,
a responsibility,
strong,
right?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I get to protect her, and I would go to the final ring for her. I would die for her, and I've let her know that. Hmm. But I can't protect her. And I've told her that. I've said, I can't fully protect you, but I can guide you. I can build in you. I can give you my very best. But God ultimately is the one that has you in his hands, and you need to connect with him.
How does she respond when you tell her that?
I think she understands that from that limited experience. You know, at 16, you're saying, okay, I got it, Dad. But I think in time she'll understand what I was talking about. And she does look at me as a protector physically. If somebody were to come, it feels good to her to have myself or my son, who's now almost 19, with her. She feels, okay, I've got that physical strength.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we're not guaranteed physical safety on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told her that. And I'll do my best to equip her so she can be aware, have awareness of her surroundings, have wisdom as she navigates this life, give her guidance in what she pursues. That's the protection we give as dads, mm-hmm. this conversation and building relationally in our daughters so they don't get distracted looking for things outside of that relationship with God, who's the ultimate protector. Mm. So if we really want our daughters protected, we guide them towards their Heavenly Father, who ultimately can protect them. And when we're put in the spot to have to protect, we'll do it. But we can't ultimately guarantee protection.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And let's go ahead and hear now a little bit more about this topic of daughters and protection from Dr. Meg Meeker, who shared with Jim Daly about her parents influencing her.
Meg, how did your own mother influence you and become a mentor to you? Did it start rough and get better, or was it pretty good the whole way?
You know, my relationship with my mother was pretty good the whole way, and I will tell you, my mother was always clear about the fact that she was the grown-up, and my dad supported that she was a grown-up. And I don't mean this to come across in a weird way, but I had a little bit of fear of my mother.
Uh-huh.
But my mother had a rough childhood. She said she grew up at 14. She learned to drive at 14 because, you know, and I had so much respect for my mother.
Huh.
There were things she'd do and things she didn't do. She was always very open and warm with my friends, but she never moved into territory.
So she modeled it well.
Oh, she modeled it.
She did
really
find
well.
That healthy
and
mother
my
spot.
My mother and my dad went through some really, really rough periods in their lives, you know, financially, this kind of a thing. And my mother had guts, and she stuck with it. And I thought, and I think now, if my mom can do that and stick with that, I can do anything.
Well, what great modeling. I mean,
huge.
Seriously.
She had a spine of steel, but she always let it be known, and my dad, too, what they expected of me and what they didn't expect of
yeah.
me. And when I went off to college, I knew they were working hard to pay that bill, and I was not going to let them down, and I was going to work very hard. And so they had a real clear sense of, and they didn't always say it, you know, we expect this of you, and we expect you not to do this. I just knew it.
Yeah. Let me ask this question, because someone might write or call us, the difference with the father's influence. We haven't talked about that. Mm-hmm. I want to get one question in there. How is a
sure.
father's influence with a daughter different from mom's influence?
I expected my mom to support and love everything I did, but I didn't always expect that from my dad, because as much as I respected and feared my mom a little bit, she was the comfy person. My dad was a very strong person, and I respected him in a different way. So I felt that if I excelled at something and dad said, good job, it was a good job. If I excelled at something and mom said, good job, in my mind, you have to say that.
It's mom.
It's mom.
I've heard my girls actually say that to Dina, is mom, you've got to say that.
You've got to say that. And, yeah. and she didn't, but that's how we perceive it. So
what's the loving heart of a mother? I mean, moms
is.
Do that.
It is.
In fact, though, you have a story about your dad, that protector, which I really appreciated. If I had a daughter, I would want to be that kind of father to my daughter. Mm-hmm. But I guess a boyfriend took you to a movie that was not the right rating, and it was risque. And what happened?
Oh, this kind of thing happened repeatedly. I was 16. An 18-year-old boy came over, which you should never let your 16-year-old daughter date an 18-year-old boy, but he was kind of immature. Anyway, we went to a movie. My dad was up. He was always awake when I came home from somewhere, particularly with a boy, and said, hey, how'd you like the movie? What did you see? And I told him, and the minute I told him, he jumped up off the couch. He looked at the young man, and the young man needed to use our restroom.
Oh, no.
Badly. And he said, and my dad said, out. You're out. And he said, can I just use the restroom? He said, no, you can't. Out. Another time I was on a date, I was older, I was 21, and I was on a date at a restaurant, and it was past midnight. I told my dad I'd be home at midnight. He paged me at the restaurant.
Just to see how you were doing?
To make sure I was alive and I was there, and to tell the guy, get her home.
Wow.
I don't know that I talked my dad for a number of days because I was 21, but I look back on it and I go, that man loved me so much. And I just,
you know. He was looking out for you.
It made me feel so good. You know, it made me feel so
loved.
Yeah,
how many years did it take to come to that conclusion?
Oh, a while.
You're right. In the moment, you're not too appreciative.
Because even after I was married, he would do sort of that kind of thing, you know, but he gently let go.
Well, that takes time, too, for that father.
Well, I loved the stories that Megan told about her dad. And just personally, I had to let go of a lot of the sense of protection. As a couple of my girls, when they hit 18, 19, 20, traveled. One daughter spent a year in the UK. Another spent a summer in Italy. Hmm. I could not protect them, but I could stay connected to them. So I was really resonating with that daddy heart that Meg was sharing a bit about there. Danny, as your daughter gets older, learning to let go and to let her be more independent and maybe exposing herself to some difficulties, that's part of the game. How does that work for you?
Yeah, I remember the first time that my daughter said, hey, I'm going to drive to my friend's house. And I wasn't 100% sure she had the stick shift thing down. and I was going, okay,
she'll make
do you
it
think
or she
you
won't.
Really have it? Do you think? And so I just asked her, I said, hey, so you've got this down, the whole stick shift thing. You think you can make it well? There's some pretty big streets that you're going to be going through. And she said, Dad, I've got it. I said, okay, have a great time. And looking forward to seeing you when you get back.
And I'll bet you prayed.
Oh, I did. And she left, and I waved out the window. I'm going, please, Lord, bring her back. Yes. I hope she's going to be all right. And this was the first time she was going alone. That on a stick shift, driving, going to a friend's house, staying for a long, long time into the night. And then she's driving back at nighttime. And it was a night where I did feel a sense of anxiousness there. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be able to protect her. That was one instance. There are other moments where I'll ask her the question, so do you think this is the best decision? And if she says, yeah, Dad, I've thought this through. I think this is a good decision. I'll trust her. Mm-hmm. Because I do trust the fact that she has taken some time to think about it. And that would be maybe going with some friends to some stores and being there for a long period of time with a lot of free time and maybe boredom mixed in. Do I trust what they're going to do? And I need to give her the opportunity to make the decision she needs to make, even though her friends may make different decisions, and she may make a wrong decision. And how can
you're
I come alongside
of her? Smiling as
and
you say
her.
That. Are you thinking back to, oh, I don't know, when you were a teenager?
Well, no.
Because I think about that.
My daughter is a bit playful and mischievous at times, and she, we've had moments of smiling where she has said, Dad, I know what you're thinking. I may make this decision. I may make the wrong decision. but I know the better one, and I'll do that one. And there are moments that she has said, Dad, that was a random neuron, and I made the wrong decision. I'm sorry. And so we've built a relationship where she has, we've gotten opportunities to talk through her growth moments.
Well, I appreciate that so much. And as a listener, you should know that Danny has written a really terrific article, 13 Lessons Dads Can Teach Their Daughters. You've heard his heart. Check that out. We're going to link over to that. It really is very insightful and really practical. And then for a full treatment of our daughters in this crazy world we live in, be sure to get the book from Meg Meeker that was kind of the foundation of the conversation we heard Meg having with Jim. It's called Raising a Strong Daughter in a Toxic Culture. And we'd like to make that available to you for a one-time gift of any amount, or if you can, a monthly pledge, a sustaining regular gift to the Ministry of Focus on the Family. Either way, donate and request that book, Raising a Strong Daughter in a Toxic Culture. The link is in the show notes. We'll hear more from Dr. Meg Meeker next time. For now, I'm John Fuller, and on behalf of Dr. Danny Huerta and the entire team, thanks for joining us for the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.
Messing up at school can be embarrassing, but Average Boy is used to it. He tries, fails, and tries again thanks to help from his friends Billy, Jenny, and Sarah. Join Average Boy in his very first fun-filled novel called Average Boy's Above Average Year. He deals with bullies, homework, and more while following God and showing God's love to others. Check out this book, perfect for the 8 to 12-year-olds in your life, at averageboy.org. That's averageboy.org.